Welcome to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. This broadcast is brought to you by the Norm Production Blue Jay Broadcasting Network and their sponsors. Thanks for joining us, and now here's Coach Chuck Seiler. And welcome back to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. We're happy to have you back this week as we have Coach Chuck Seiler here. And certainly, Coach, an exciting time, I think. Two consecutive weeks you've shut out your opponent and winning big over Plattsburgh, 45-0. Something we've got to feature is that running game. And, you know, you had two running backs, ran for over 100 yards, and among others, you probably ran for over 250 yards, and your defense playing well once again, featuring a running clock through the second half. You got to be happy with the way your team's played last couple of weeks.
Well, it's the time of year where it's fun. There's no doubt about it, getting into this district stuff and able to eventually move on and whatever. And this is the time of year you should be playing well. All the work that you've gone through the summer and through two-a-days and into the first 8 weeks of this season. And you hope that things are starting to gel and look a lot better. And yeah, we seem to be doing that right now.
Certainly last week things were kind of questionable, and we'll talk about Jack Callahan's health a little bit later, but we didn't know how the West Platte Blue Jays were going to start out. Started out using Dylan Guthrie as your quarterback, and then eventually Jack got in the game. But the way things shook out, and you did rely a little bit on your passing game, certainly. We saw some nice passes, and I think Brandon Searcy had a long run on a pass situation, but your running game was doing so well, really, as far as a quarterback or relying on the pass. It really wasn't necessary. And, Coach, what do you think is going on as far as your running game? Is it the better blocking that's going on with your interior line? Is it just your teams molding better together on the running situations?
Well, I think the kids are just kind of figuring it out more and more. You know, we were so young early on. Kids didn't have varsity time on that line, and so they had to gel, and we had a couple kids get injured, and we had to move guys around a little bit, and so they're starting to gel as far as the blocking scheme. You know, we do a lot of different things, but we really don't either in the running game. I think we've only got like four or five different run plays is all we really have, but we run them out of different formations and different sets of the backfield and whatever, so it looks like we're doing some different stuff. But we run those plays over and over and over and over and over, and the kids are just starting to gel a little bit, and that's a good thing. And so, yeah, running game is starting to look really good, and you're right. We could have done nothing but run it last week and not throw it, but we're going to need to be throwing it eventually here more and more and down the road, and want to give Jack some more experience on throwing a football too. So, but yeah, things are looking pretty good.
Certainly got to give props to Dylan Guthrie once again, having an outstanding game. I can think of two touchdown runs in the 30-yard area, and then he had another run for over 45 to 50 yards there just before half. He had over 100 yards, and it wasn't even halftime yet. But you know, you also got to talk about Colton Goodlett, too. One thing I like about him and his running attitude, the guy just does not want to go down.
Colton is, of course, he's got dad's blood in him, and dad was a great football player. And so we just feel like that we've got a lot of kids that can run the football. And you got, sure, you can't forget Cody Guthrie and Peyton Toy, and I don't know, the list kind of goes on. We could put Brandon Searcy back there and run the football if we needed to. But those two, the first two kids talked about, are really the workhorses for us. And it's nice that Colton's coming on here a little bit, so they don't key on Dylan quite so much. And if they do key on him, then we can go to another direction and give it to Colton. And that's, you know, to have two of them big dudes back there. And Colton is a punishing back. I mean, so is Dylan. Dylan's strong, and he'll punish, but Colton is really a punishing guy. And matter of fact, we got on him a little bit there the other night, didn't really get on him, but we coached him up and then coached him Saturday morning in film to where he was wanting to cut back. He came down our sideline one time, and then he wanted to cut back, and we said, you know, just lower that head and those shoulders and just run over those guys. And just see if you can't, you know, just, he's big and strong. He's probably the strongest kid on a football team. And I told him, I said, use that weightlifting that you do and just put it to good use. And he at first, he wasn't sure about how to take that. And then when we talked to him Saturday morning, we just showed him what we're talking about. He can be a very, very, very punishing runner if we get him going right. So, yeah, it's nice to have two of them back there, let me tell you.
Certainly, too, Coach, one of the advantages of having a big lead at half, you're able to get your reserve some very, I think, quality playing time in that second half, and got to see some nice things there as well. Saw a very nice drive put on by the reserve unit there by Justin Rhodes, and then we were able to see what he's going to bring to the team here in years to come.
Yeah, Justin is going to be quite a guy. Hard nose, just goes. And he plays linebacker just as hard as he plays running back, and so we've got some good things coming with him. And he broke one for a nice touchdown run, got some speed about him, and so, yeah, we're able to see what he's going to bring to the table, and next year ought to be interesting with the running game because we'll have Colton back, and now we're going to be adding him there, and Cody Guthrie and some guys like that's going to be able to run the football, so we'll be able to run it next year, that's for sure. And I'm looking forward to Justin because he's going to be quite the guy, I think.
You bet. Certainly, Coach, second straight week, a goose egg on the other side of the field there, and you got to feel good about what your defense is doing right now.
Well, I really think the defense, and we've seen it coming all along, and since Coach Wilk has taken over, it's a lot more complicated. He's got more calls and checks and this and that kind of thing. We'll run two or three different fronts. And several different coverages, and I think it's taken them this long to really start to gel and figure out what they're doing, and that doesn't surprise me, and that's fine because just takes that long sometimes. So I look for our defense. I hope I'm not wrong here, but I'm hoping that against Sloss and Bunch, that our defense really shines a little bit, because if we make a mistake, if we don't have a guy in the right spot, they will find a way to take advantage of that, and they've done it before against us. So I'm just hoping. I think it's going to be fun to see how we do against a good offense like that. But Coach Wilk's got them playing, that's for darn sure.
Certainly, we can talk about Lawson here in just a little bit, but we'll go over the district standings. Wellington Napoleon, who West Platte did play earlier in the year, did defeat Wellington Napoleon. They do have 46.99 in the district points to lead the district right now. West Platte behind them with 39.59 points showing. So West Platte about 7.5 points there behind Wellington Napoleon. It's going to be hard to see how that's going to shake out, because the team they're playing is like 2-7, something like that. And I think they may have won one or two games. And
right,
you're playing Lawson. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. They're 5-3 in a class above. So that could be interesting if West Platte pulls that off. So we'll see how that plays out. But the other thing that's very interesting in our district is the next four teams, North Platte, St. Mary, Lone Jack, and Mid Buchanan, those four teams only have 6 points separating them. So that'll really become a jumbling around there after this last week. So, Coach, this district race has really been kind of exciting for the first time to have this unveiled to the Missouri State High School Activities Association.
Yeah, when they started talking about this thing a couple of years back, and I was for it right from the start, I think it just makes for a competitive season the entire year. Every game is points and important to that district standings, and so I'm tickled to death so far with the way that things come out. I just think it's great. Yeah, we're close. We're right there. Been pretty dang close to that number one seeding. And I haven't sat down and figured out the points if we would beat Lawson, how that would put us against the other team, so we'll see. But I do know this. I've told the kids there is a challenge. You can challenge the number two can challenge the number one for the number one seed. They feel like there's some things that they need to do. And if you do that, then the other six teams vote on it, and it has to be won by a vote of 4-2 that would challenge and put the other team up to number one. Well, our strength of schedule is much stronger than what they play.
It is.
And so I've told the kids, if we'll beat Lawson, if you go out there and get this job done, then I'm going to challenge for the number one seed. If our points don't already have us there, I'll challenge. And just from looking at our strength of schedule, looking at the fact that we beat them head-to-head, I think it's worth the challenge. What are we going to lose? All I'm going to do is say no. But if we would get that number one seed, that means we would have home field advantage for
right
ways. And we'd have three or four games here. Matter of fact, we'd have, if we go on and win what we're supposed to and then play Wellington in the district final, it would be home. And
yeah.
I'd sure like to do that. So we're going to wait and see how that all pans out. But if we'll win Friday night, I certainly will challenge for that number one spot.
Certainly, I certainly can appreciate that because my electronic slide rule is broken, and I won't be able to figure that one out. But that leads us to our break as we get ready to talk about the next team. And, boy, what a matchup for the end of the year this one is, as the West Platte Blue Jays get ready to play the Lawson Cardinals. We'll talk to Coach Chuck Seiler about that right after this.
For more than 100 years, the Bank of Weston has been serving the Weston community and maintains a strong bond with the West Platte Blue Jays. With 5 locations across the North Kansas City area, the Bank of Weston has a location near you. Come visit us at the Bank of Weston, your friendly personal service of a family and employee-owned bank. Come visit us on the web at www.bankofweston.com and go Blue Jays, number FDIC. With Norman Landcraft, a properly planned landscape provides your property with an attractive, functional setting. Whether you are renovating an older property or starting with a new home or business, professional advice from Norman Landcraft is an investment that grows. Get custom design landscaping from their professional staff that gives your property that finished look. Call 816-858-2939, and from the staff at Norman Landcraft, go Blue Jays!
Hey, are you a West Platte Blue Jays fan? You can support the WestPlatteSports.com broadcasting crew with your purchase of West Platte Rocks. You can have this beautiful display piece for your home entryway or your yard decoration to show your support for the West Platte Blue Jays. At the same time, you're helping support the WestPlatteSports.com broadcast team to provide coverage of athletic events for the upcoming year. For delivery in the West Platte area, call us at 816-830-5126 or email us at rocks@westplattesports.com. Payment is due at delivery with major credit cards, checks, or cash accepted. For orders beyond the West Platte area, please email us at rocks@westplattesports.com for shipment and arrangements. Please continue to help provide excellent coverage of the West Platte Sports Athletics with your purchase of West Platte Rocks. We appreciate your support and commitment to West Platte Sports video and audio coverage. Get your West Platte Rock today. Just give us a call at 816-830-5126 or email rocks@westplattesports.com to get yours. Thanks for your support. Go Blue Jays!
And welcome back to the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. And as we've just had our break, we were talking a little bit about a team that I think probably has a little thing they want to settle, and it's probably a football game that was played last year when West Platte went over to Lawson and miraculously came back to win that game. And as time was running out up there at Lawson, one of the biggest victories West Platte has had on the road in many years, Coach, when you went over there to beat Lawson. Lawson, I'm sure, has remembered that, and they probably brought that to their team's attention this week. And this team comes in here 5-3. Once again, Lawson is coming in here as an awfully good football team. The team they've lost to are pretty good football teams. They come in here with a 5-3 record. Maryville is probably one of the best teams in the state in any division, based on what I've seen and heard about them. Lathrop, we found out, they're a pretty good team using speed to their advantage, and a team they just about beat. It was a close game. I think it was like 14-9. And from what I heard, they lost that game in the last minute. Somebody dropped a pass or something like that as time was running out. So they almost beat a very powerful Penny team that West Platte played a few weeks ago. And I tell you what, Lawson comes in here once again, very strong, looking very like a very a very good football team that they normally have, Coach. They come in here, they look pretty good.
They are good. And Coach Dunn has been over there for so many years. These kids have played in that system for so many years. There's a great deal to be said about stability in a coaching staff, because the kids get to know them, know what to expect. They know the system. I went through the same thing with Coach Sherman over at Platte County. He's been there so long, and the kids just know what to expect, and away they go. So, yeah, they're a good football team. I promise you they haven't forgotten last year. One of the kids showed me a deal on Facebook the other day that somebody had taken of our kids celebrating on the field when the game was over, and they were so excited and they had their helmets together, and I had to take our kids and shoo them off. I knew they were excited, but you can't rub it into somebody's, you can't rub salt in the wound on somebody else's field. And so, but they had this picture, and it was some kid from Lawson had posted on Facebook, and saying, remember last year, or something like that. So they're going to come over here with a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to come over here with revenge in their hearts. And I've told our kids, I said, you've got to be able to withstand the emotion that they're going to bring for the first two, three, four series, maybe the first quarter. And if you can do that, if you can stay positive, and you stay battling, and that emotion will die down, and then we got to play football. But early on, it's going to be pretty stout. So, because they're going to want to come over here, and they remember what happened last year.
Something that catches my eye, Coach, is defensively they seem to be playing very well as well. They holding Hamilton to 14 points is something that they've been averaging something like 40 points a game as far as Penny is concerned, and defensively they seem like they offer a pretty big challenge.
Oh yeah, they run the same defense that they run for several years. It's a 5-2. Some people might even call it a 3-4. I'd really call it a 5-2. They'll walk the two outside linebackers up on the line some, and they'll have a nose guard and a couple tackles, and then a couple defensive ends. So, and the kids have played. They've done this for years. They've played at it. They know the whole deal and what to expect. And defensively, yeah, they're a good football team. They'll play cover four over the top of it. They did that last year, and if y'all remember right, when we were going down the field on that last series that we won the thing on, they kept playing that cover four and kept the flats open, and we kept hitting Brandon Searcy.
Right.
We'd run what we call a 97 out, which the outside receiver runs a fade going down the field, and then the inside receiver just runs a little out route, and we hit Brandon, and we just kept moving down the field. So I don't look for him to change. I think the blitz is big time, and I think that's kind of low. Their defense will be coming after us, there's for sure.
Now, offensively, they run that single wing, I believe, and it's one of these things kind of like watching a nutshell thing where you're trying to figure out who's got the ball. They've run that thing for so long, it seems so automatic to them, but as a spectator and a fan and as a play-by-play broadcaster, it's hard to figure out who's got the ball. They just execute that so well, and I know that's something that you've been working on this week.
Oh, yeah. Coach Wilk has done a good job of preparing the kids for it. I generally run the scout team while we're doing this, and the scouts have done a good job. It's still not, total game speed like you'll see Friday night, but the whole key as a fan, if you want to watch this thing, just watch their guards. They'll generally take you to where the ball is for the most part. We've got our outside linebackers keying the two wings, and the inside linebackers will read full flow. They'll read guards into full flow. I think we've got a good handle on it, and I'm hoping that our kids have some confidence after last year against them. So, should be a good football game.
So we'll watch the guards. I'll keep that note for myself as well.
There you go.
Because I'll try to figure out who's got the ball, and it's a challenge for that particular team. At least we'll have a pretty good angle there at Eskridge Field to see that as compared to what we would see at Lawson. So yes, it ought to be a very interesting game. I think it's probably one of the better games that we'll see. As far as matchups in Northwest Missouri. Well, Coach, certainly wish you luck there against Lawson, both of you, 5-3, and the implications could be very huge for West Platte. It could be the difference between the point system vaulting you in the first place. We'll take a wait and see, and obviously you've already shared with us what you're looking at doing if that happens, and certainly if the Blue Jays win, things seem to take care of themselves. Coach, I know that we were concerned about Jack Callahan. Had a head-type injury there at Mid-Buchanan, and the crowd very respectfully was very quiet there. And we were concerned about going into this next game as you guys were preparing for Plattsburgh and starting Dylan, which was the right thing to do. And I understand Jack got cleared to play that particular day, and you had preparations, and you got him in there about the third series or so. I'm assuming all lights are green for Jack as well as the rest of your football team.
Yeah, Jack's fine. Jack was cleared fully last Friday, and I learned something talking to Jack. One of the things that I thought about, of course, we didn't know that he was going to be cleared. He had to go up and retake the test, and so I had to prepare like we weren't going to have him, and that's why we did what we did with Dylan. But once he was cleared, the doctors told Jack, said, you have no more chance of getting a concussion last Friday than you will 2 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, a year from now. Anytime you get a concussion, you are more susceptible to a second one. But it, once they clear you, they've gone through the baseline test with him, and he had to do a five-step, there were five steps he had to follow before he could retake that last test. And once he'd done all that, then he was cleared. They did say that he was one of the fastest recovering from a concussion that they've ever had, and that he was fully cleared last Friday night. Which I'm certainly glad to hear that, and he was good to go, and he had practiced with us a little bit last Thursday and last Wednesday, and I knew he knew enough about what we were wanting to do, and he handled it well.
Certainly, Coach, I know normally we have a bonus question to talk with you about every week, but we can just kind of segue into that. I mean, looking at the head type and concussion type and spinal and back injuries, looking back compared to back in the 60s and 70s when we played, certainly they are a lot more precautionary now than what they used to be. I mean, you used to be almost made a joke of it, and now we've learned over the years that's pretty serious stuff, and it's better to be precautionary as compared to taking chances.
Oh, certainly more important. You know, these kids take this baseline thing. They have to take a test when they haven't had any exercise, and they take it as a freshman. I think they have to take it every 2 years. And then when they get hurt, they go take this test again. And until they pass this test, they say that the brain is not healed good enough to participate in sports. And so we've got several of these kids that have done that, and I'm all for it, and just the precaution of it. And you don't want these kids, you know, very few of these kids, once they graduate from high school, are ever going to put on pads again. And the life they're going to lead sure doesn't need to be hurt by a concussion playing football. You want them to enjoy football, and sure, they enjoy it and love it and don't want to come out and that kind of thing, but they're precautions that we're taking now with concussions and keeping them out and all that kind of thing is huge, and I'm all for it.
Certainly, Coach, we can all express that we wish you the best as you get ready to play Lawson. Friday night ought to be a big one. I know this will be a feature game for a lot of the media outlets in Northwest Missouri as the West Platte Blue Jays take on Lawson Cardinals Friday night at Eskridge Stadium. Ought to be a great one, Coach. We wish you good luck, and we'll talk to you next week as we prepare for the district playoffs.
Well, we're excited about this game, Jay, and looking forward to the Lawson coming to town, and we sure are looking to plan them a good game. We've told the kids if they'll do their jobs, do what we've asked them to do, that and that if they keep doing it during the whole game, that we ought to come out of this thing okay. And we truly do. I feel like we've got a chance. We can play with them, and we can bring home another victory. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, we wish Coach Chuck Seiler and the West Platte Blue Jays well for the final regular season football game from Eskridge Stadium as the West Platte Blue Jays take on the Lawson Cardinals. Ought to be a great game with both teams at 5-3. Well, from Norm Productions and WestPlatteSports.com, we'll announce our broadcast schedule for districts and moving forward. We're looking forward to bringing more games to you as the West Platte Blue Jays move on through districts. Well, that should take care of us for tonight for the Coach Chuck Seiler Show. We'll see you at Lawson tomorrow night. If you can't be there, join us on WestPlatteSports.com. Ryan Littner, myself, and Matt Parker bring the game to you on WestPlatteSports.com. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you around, and we'll see you at the games. Good night, everybody.